Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you would like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Good morning. Hey, we're in our We Before Me message series. Kind of sedating here now, right? Yeah, you good? Are you all right? You guys okay? Feeling all right? Anybody looking forward to free cake? Hallelujah. My beautiful bride, just want to honor you today, my love, for your birthday. The Bible says give honor where honor is due, and I just want to honor you for all you do for this house. There's so many people that you serve in this house and the people that you mother. Bless you. We love you, love you, love you, love you, love you. So yeah, hey, fill out there's a little thing out there. You can put a little note, drop it in there. Tell her how good looking her husband is. I think you're amazing that you got such a good looking husband. Hallelujah. Don't you love it when little babies like that try to cry? It's so funny. You don't know how to cry yet. You'll learn. Amen. Hey, we're in our We Before Me message series, and it's about relationships and presence is good up here right now. Liking this. Hallelujah. Just receive right now. Wow. Just plug into what God is doing. It's about relationships in general. It's about marriage specifically. And you might say, well, I'm not married, Pastor. Well, then get saved and you become the bride of Christ. And then we'll all be married together. Amen? Are you with me? It's important that we understand what healthy relationships look like. Very few of us really have healthy relationships modeled for us because we're all raised by flawed people. Amen? And it's easy to remember the flaws and forget the healthy parts. And so we have to purposefully relearn these things. We have to focus on them. We have to grow on purpose in our relationships with intentionality. Does that make sense? Intentionality. Intentionally, we'll say. I know there's a word in there somewhere. Here's the truth. Marriage is hard. No, let me say that again. It's easy to get married. Having a good marriage where both members are growing is hard. It's hard. It's easy to be married and avoid the issues. It's easy to be married and blame the issues on other people. But being in relationship is not easy. It's not easy. It's very rewarding, but it poses challenges. Amen? Amen. Let's read some scripture together. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. I'm feeling good right now. Feels good on this stage right here. Corey, thanks for busting the doors open up here. I appreciate that. Kellyanne, band, good show. It's feeling good up here. Had a new bass player. Anybody see that? Hallelujah. Donnell, wherever you are, good job. Wherever you are, where are you, Donnell? There he is back there. Don't be flexing back there. Don't look, ladies. Why the ladies look? Well, I don't understand what just happened. What the? She says we got a guy going to med school who plays bass and loves Jesus and works out. You want to look at that? Come on. I'm talking about Jesus right now. First Peter chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 8. Amen? This is Peter talking to you and me. He says, to sum it up, all of you, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Verse 9. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Say amen to the reading of the word. JJ, do me a favor and turn mic up just a little bit in the mains. Can you do that for me? Just turn them up a little bit. How many of you like his playing? Sounds good, right? Give him a little more volume if you would, JJ. Let's highlight him a little bit. Sounds nice, right? Let's look at some definitions here. You know, it says in here, 1 Peter 3:8, to sum up, all of you be, show verse 8. To sum up, all of you be, say it out loud, all of you be harmonious. It's a good word, right? It just sounds peaceful. Let's look at the definition of harmonious, if you could. Harmonious, forming a pleasing or consistent whole, free from dissent. That's how he wants us to be, harmonious. Now, of course, harmonious comes from the root word harmony. See that? I took English classes in college. Check this out. So harmony, let's look at the definition of harmony. It's a combination of simultaneously sounded musical notes to produce chords and chord progressions. Agreement. Now, so Peter is taking a musical kind of term and using it on people to be harmonious, meaning we come together and we make a harmony. Now, do me a favor, Mike, would you please? What key are you playing in right now? B. He's playing in B. So just give me a B chord if you could. That's a B chord. Can you give us just the B note? Again. That's the B note. Give me it one more time, Mike. No, just the note. Can you hear that? Turn it up a little, JJ. B note. Now give me the B note on another octave at the same time. That's still one note still. See how it's different but the same? Give me the higher one. Give me the lower one. Give me them together. That's not a harmony. That's one note. Right? They're different but the same. That's not harmony. Now give me a B chord if I could. Give me the three individual notes that boom, boom, boom. Three different notes. Give me that again. Three notes. One more time. Play them together. That just sounds pleasing, doesn't it? Sounds pleasing. Now give me a B, Mike. Give me some notes that aren't in the key of B. Play them together. That's not a key. That's not a chord. Hear that? Do it again. Like, I don't know what harmony is exactly, but I know what it doesn't look like. Give me that again. See, some of you, that's your marriage. Do it again. And this is what we're going for. Give it up for Mike, everybody. See, sometimes we got to see what isn't right before we can begin to really want what is right. Amen? We got a funny thing that happens at Revival Life Church. We have people try out for the worship team. If you've ever been in a church that doesn't do that, just say thank you, Corey. We want people to sound right together, right? We want our worship team to be, hear me, in harmony. You know how hard it is to worship when it sounds terrible? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever been in a worship service where it sounds like the singers and all the musicians didn't talk about it beforehand? And it's kind of every man for himself, right? And oh God, okay, I'm gonna get a little trouble here, but I'm going with this. And then if it sounds really bad, you know what they call it? Prophetic. We're just being prophetic. As if God doesn't know how to harmonize. We're the three-in-one God work in perfect harmony as if they don't know how to harmonize, right? And so what we do is it's kind of like, you know, here, let me say this way. Prophetic is like the jazz of Christian music. Except jazz players practice, right? And so when you get this kind of crazy every man for himself worship set, kind of like a drum circle, you know, like what I don't know what's happening. People's like, oh, it must be God. That's why we're all doing something different. When, no, you just didn't practice. And that's how most marriages are. We don't have a common goal. We're not reading off the same music. We don't have the same destination. Kind of every man for himself. Right? Right? Everybody trying to do their own thing. Everybody thinking, this is how God made me. You need to adjust what I'm doing. Right? And I understand where that comes from. I've been married almost 17 years. It'll be 17 years in February. And amen. Amen. And about a good, you know, a good half dozen of those have been good. That's because, you know, we started getting on the same page. At some point, we're like, man, heaven's going to take a long time. We better start working on this thing. Right? My advice to you is if I'm describing your marriage right now, listen to what I'm doing and then get some marriage counseling. Right? Let me just say that off the bat. We require people to get premarital counseling, and for most people, that's all the counseling they ever get. That's the counseling you need the least. You need that a lot. You need that a lot. Now, I don't thank Jesus. I don't do the premarital counseling anymore, but my favorite part of the premarital counseling is just letting everybody know you got issues. So when problems come, don't blame them all on your wife. Don't blame them all on your husband, because let me help you see your issues, right? Because people got issues. And we got to know that we need some help dealing with our issues. I think it's amazing how much we'll pay somebody to disciple us in real estate or in music or in anything we want to learn, yet actually changing our entire life to live in harmony with somebody else, we think we can wing it. No, I got this. Really, do you? Have you been doing this a lot? I mean, do you have a string of successful marriages that show you know how to do this? Or could you possibly learn something somewhere, right? That's me, you know? And so we're just going to talk about this this living in harmony. And so we're going to start from the beginning. Amen? We're going to start all the way at the beginning. So if you got your Bible, go ahead and turn to Genesis chapter 1. When I said the beginning, I'm talking in the beginning. Amen? We're starting at the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't tell my wife what I said about our marriage earlier, okay? Just, she wasn't here. Hallelujah. All right, Genesis chapter 1, you there? Are you there? Is your Bible on? Are you looking at it? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Ready? God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Hallelujah. Now, when we look at God's purpose, we want to go back to the beginning. A lot of times people get really off base with your call, with your purpose. And I feel like even in 2017, there's a lot of people who are, again, searching for purpose, searching for direction, searching for where God would have them go and what he wants them to do. I found when we first get saved, it's easy because we just want to get away from the devil. Right? We're just running away from the devil and toward God. Does that make sense? You know, just like I am just running. I want to be free from where I've been. But eventually you get enough separation between you and the enemy that's not enough anymore. Right? You run, then you find out he's not near you. Now you have no purpose to run anymore. If you're not there yet, just keep running, right? And act like you didn't hear that. But chances are, a time will come where you'll forget why you're running in the first place. And what the Lord told me at the end of 2016, he talked about going back to the place of first encounter. I'm not talking merely running to your first love, which absolutely we should do, but if you knew how to do that, you would be doing that already, right? But I want you to go back and spend time in prayer. Spend time with Jesus. It may take time. And remember your first encounters with him. Remember your first encounters in the anointing. Remember your first encounters at salvation. Remember when you got filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember the first season of knowing him. And begin to go through that. Begin to remember what he spoke to you. A lot of times, God will give a prophetic word to us when we get saved. He'll speak something very meaningful, and as time goes, and we kind of discount it later on, and then later on we come back to it after a lengthy time, and there's life on it all over again. And what you're going to see is this is going to bring new life, new passion to your purpose. Because often, you know, in prophetic ministry, there's foretelling and forthtelling. There's kind of telling you it's coming, and then there's causing something to happen in the future. And often when we first hear the prophetic word over our life, we don't truly understand it. Or it's much bigger than we originally thought. If you read the scriptures, what Jesus told the disciples when he first met them is extremely significant. Extremely significant. And they didn't get it. And they didn't get it until much later when they began penning the scripture. They began to see how big this word over their life was. And often, we don't see how big the word over our life is when we first encounter him. We don't understand that he actually knows the end from the beginning. And so he's not just speaking to where we're at, but the whole us. Right? And he's speaking to your, you know, freshly renewed self or newly rejuvenated, or many of you, even pre-salvation, the Lord spoke a word over you and you had no grid for it until many years later and you fully understand what he's speaking. Is this making sense to you? Can I hear amen if this is making sense? And many of us, it's easy to discount that word or devalue that word because we don't fully understand it. But if you go back to that place of first encounter, if you go back to that first encounter, you go back to those words that the Lord originally spoke over you, they'll bring new life because they'll begin to unfold more and more. God is amazing in that he speaks a word that continues to unfold. This is why I'm very leery of any ministry that tries to give you rules for running your life, because they don't know where you're going to be. You know, they see through a glass dimly. They don't know what you're going to need in fullness, right? And so what they do is they want to see you probably with a pure heart to walk in purity and wholeness, and they give you tools that will get you to where they want you to be. But only God knows the full picture, amen? So go back to what God spoke over you and begin to really pray through that again. I hope you do that. I hope you do, because this is a real strong prophetic word for me and over this house over this year. I don't have time to really preach this in the fullness of how God explained it to me. But this is going to bring you great life. But as we look in this message series, we look what God originally spoke over the first married couple, Adam and Eve, right? And he says to them, as we look back at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created a male and female. He created them. I got three very quick points, and then I'm going to talk for a while. Right? And that's what's going to happen today. So when I get through number three quickly, don't get too excited because I got more to talk about. Right? The first thing I want you to see in this very scripture right here, God created you in his image. You are created in the image of God. You collectively are created. If you do not have as a foundational belief for your life that God created you on purpose, in that he loves you. If you do not have that settled in your heart, that he made you on purpose and he loves you. If you don't wake up in the morning understanding God loves me, you have to wake up and know God loves me before anything else. This is the foundation. God could have done whatever he wanted. He could have breathed life into pterodactyls. He could have raised up rocks. In his image, he could have created squirrels. I don't know. He could have done whatever he wanted, but he chose to create you as an object of his love. He wanted to love someone and something, and he decided that was going to be you. Before you did anything worthwhile. And in his all-knowing creating you, he knew that you would not walk in perfect love toward him. And instead of protecting himself, he made a way for you to come back to him. Before you ever walked away, he said, I gotta create a bridge back. And so he sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. So that once you were born, you could continue being the object of his love, because there's a way back in the name of Jesus Christ. That is amazing. And if you don't get that fact in your heart, then you'll never get your true purpose realized. And you'll never be able to have healthy relationships with other people, because you won't know what true love is, so you won't be able to express true love. If you've not experienced the love of the Father, then it's impossible to express your full purpose on the earth, because your purpose was born in the Father's love. Period. It was born in the Father's love. You are an expression of the Father's love to the world. You were created to be an object of His love, that you could freely receive it and freely give it away, needing nothing in return. This is what we were created for as children of God. This weekend, we're celebrating Martin Luther King, like billions of other people, a true hero in my life, a man that I've emulated way before I met Jesus. And I love Martin Luther King, obviously, because he's the man. I'm a little disappointed. You know, he passed at 38, which is crazy because I'm older than that. And he created what he did way more than me, right? Like he accomplished way more. If you're in your 30s, you feel that creeping up, right? But not only did I love the man for what he accomplished, just for America, right? And for people. After I got saved, and he had been a hero of mine my whole life, I recognized that his entire message was the love of God. He talked about inequality. He talked about fair wages. He talked about the Vietnam War. He talked about lots of things. But the motivation was always the love of God. He talked about love in our lives will transform the world. He talked about when we, believers, will walk in love instead of hatred, everything will change. That was his message. Listen to his speeches. He talked about, you know, he was murdered talking about equal pay for garbage men, right? And that is a manifestation of the love of God should change everything. When we experience and express love, when we're able to love people, it changes everything. That was his whole message. And he's an amazing speaker, and you know, he came from a legacy of amazing men, all right? He's a, you know, he was a third generation. You can go to the church that he preached in, and there's stained glass of his father and grandfather in that church before he was really somebody. I mean, it's just amazing. But his message was the same. It wasn't hatred, it wasn't bigotry, it was love. And it changed the world. And so from the beginning, you have to recognize that you were created in your father's image. You look like your daddy. And so does your spouse. Your spouse was created in his image. Therefore, you have to treat them that way. And that's the rub, right? That's the rub. Second thing I want you to see, let's look at this Genesis 1:27 again. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Let's talk. Let's say that last clause together again. Male and female, he created them. Now listen, if you're married, second thing I want you to see is it takes both of you to complete the image of God. Male and female, he created them in his image. Male and female, he created them in his image. It takes both of you. And the challenge that we have in relationships is we tend to overvalue our gift and undervalue their gift. We overvalue our sanctification. We undervalue their sanctification. We overvalue our opinion. We undervalue their opinion. When it takes both of us, takes two people to bear the image of God. Now, if we look at Scripture, there's only two times in Scripture that we are changed, that there's a supernatural transformation. The first one, and probably the most important, is when we get saved. When we get saved, our spirit man is made alive, and instantly we're transformed from darkness to light. It's a miracle that we become one with God, and we're completely transformed, the Bible says. In that moment, we go from death to life. Pretty big deal. Would you agree? Pretty big deal. I don't know about you, in my life it was a big deal. People say, I've always been a Christian. I'm like, well, I can't wait to see you get saved. Because there's something that happens when you meet him and you recognize you're not him. That he's God and I'm not. When that revelation comes, everything changes. Right? Second one is when we get married, the Bible says, two people become one flesh. That's interesting. It says one flesh, not one spirit. Not one soul to become one. Now, if we're one, that means we got to work out the soul part. We got to live in a way that reflects this reality that we don't see in the natural. I don't know if you know this, that takes effort. You know, we're the body of Christ, and that's another challenge, but it takes both of us to complete the image of God in our marriage. And I've found that men, I'm not going to say that. Fullness is more than just an intimacy. Number three, I want you to see this. Is that okay? Can I? You know, hallelujah. Verse 28, let's look at verse 28 together. Genesis 1, 28. It says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. This is the very first thing he spoke over marriage. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. This is the very first revelation he spoke over married couples. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Now, if we look at God's intention, we have to look at purpose. We have to look at purpose. First thing he says is be fruitful and multiply. Now, I hear my heart on this. I love people. I love you. Wherever you're at in your walk with God, I love you. It's not my intention. It's not my job to change anybody. I have gotten out of the changing people business a long time ago. I am in the want to meet my amazing Jesus business. And if he wants to change you, he has full authority, right? His spirit will come and convict of whatever he wants to convict of, right? It is my job to teach the Bible. It's my job to walk clean in my conscience. And so I just want to say this, and it's not my desire to beat up anybody or anything like that, right? However, when I look at design, he says, be fruitful. There's a bit of a lie that says God creates people with same-sex attraction, that he creates people to be that way. Then I would wonder why you have functioning reproductive parts, right? He created you to multiply, and you can't multiply that way. And so it doesn't make sense that he would create you in a way that's opposes your design when there's nothing physically to confirm the creation. Now, Paul said some were created to be eunuchs, to have no sexual relation. They were created that way. And the Bible says that some choose to live as eunuchs. So what I see is we are created one way and some choose to live another way. But it's impossible to say, okay, let me make it silly to prove a point, but this isn't what I'm saying. So don't take this into the extreme. Some people would say, just because I was born to Italian parents, God really created me to be Puerto Rican. Now, the Puerto Ricans would say, amen, right? But but guess what? If God wanted me to be born Puerto Rican, you know what? I'd be born in Puerto Rico. Right? If he wanted me to be a woman, guess what? I would have been born a woman. Watch how this works. Whatever God wants, that's what he does. Right? I don't say, since I'm feeling this way, clearly that's the truth, and everything needs to bend towards my feeling. Right? Right? I should use a woman's bathroom because I feel like a woman. I'm like, well, you're about to feel a beat down. Stay out the bathroom. Go home and put whatever label you want on your bathroom door and use it all you want. I'm okay with that. You know, you want to call it the ladies' room, want to call it the whales' room, whatever you want to call it. I'm okay with that. Be whatever you want to be. I don't care. I could care less. Do what you want to do in your house. Don't make my daughter or my son be a part of it. Come on, just be you. Go. You want to do that? Go be. Don't make me part of it. I didn't sign up for that. Well, I feel like Jesus called me to be a Holy Ghost flying knee kick person who used the wrong bathroom. Who's to say? How about we just do what we're called to do in our own privacy of our home, and in public we just stick with the parts we were given at birth, right? Let's just do that, right? And so I just want to free you up because sometimes our feelings don't line up with reality. Right? Can anybody say amen to that? Sometimes I feel alone when I'm around people. How many of you know I'm not really alone? Some of you feel alone in this crowd right here. You feel alone right now, and that is not reality. And we can give these false feelings too much power in our life. At some point, we have to say, I know it's not this easy, but we just have to determine in our lives we're going to live according to the truth. And we have to admit, I have feelings that aren't true feelings, but they feel uncomfortable. Right? I feel rejected even though nobody has rejected me. Stop projecting that onto other people as if it's their fault that you feel that way. We have to own our own feelings. Amen? We just got to man up a little bit and say, I feel this way and it's not your fault, but I still feel this way. I better figure out where it's coming from. Get healed up and start living whole. Right? But when you don't deal with these things and then you get married, more times than not, you found a cause of all your problems. It's amazing, the person who committed their life to you forever all of a sudden is the problem in your life. Like, do you remember what it was like to be alone? Now all of a sudden alone doesn't feel that lonely. Proverbs says it's better to sleep on the corner of the roof than with a contentious woman. That's what the Bible says. And some of you fellas are like, if only my roof was flat. It's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I'm not telling you to sleep on the roof. But we got issues. I don't know about you, but we got issues. And we got to start working on these things. Everybody smells it. Everybody sees it. It messes with your ministry. And we got to start dealing with some stuff so we can grow in Christ. Amen? Amen? He created us with a purpose. You see this. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion or rule over stuff. Right? And I love the earth. I'm very happy about the earth. I like the air being clean. I like to be able to breathe it. I like to be able to drink the water. I don't want to die of cancer from just living on the planet. However, the planet is here for us to rule. Mother Earth is a perversion of Father God. You have to understand that, you know, the New Age root of the idea that the earth is our mother. The earth is not my mother. Marianne Thomas is my mother. I love her, right? Mary's not my mother. I don't pray to her. Jesus Christ is the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, ruler of heaven and earth. Father God is my Father. Holy Spirit is here to empower me to do the works that Jesus did. Hallelujah. Convict the world of righteous sin and judgment. These are the ruling powers of my life. And then the other ruling power, I got Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Tracy Thomas. That's what I got. These are the ruling powers in my life. Right? And if you're married, you got the same thing happening. Because that's the other half of you. Right? When you see people who do self-harm, we understand that you have a problem. That's not an artistic expression. It's a problem. Right? Unfortunately, if you're hurting, you begin to cut yourself or disfigure yourself or crazy things people do, we say that's a problem. And when you don't value your spouse, you're doing the same thing. Right? You're injuring yourself. It doesn't make sense. We got to figure out why we do that, and we got to start working through it. Now, it's not my job here today to heal you guys or to take us through a therapy session. That's not it. It is my goal to connect you to the one who can. His name is Jesus, right? And His Holy Spirit is here, and His love is flowing from the Father to heal stuff and so you to be brave and start dealing with stuff. Amen? Amen. So let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And, you know, if we want to, if we're created with a purpose, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion, we got to look at what Peter said about all this and how we're going to accomplish that. And we started the beginning of the message with this, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says again, to sum up, all of you be harmonious. All of you be harmonious. This is the goal of our marriage, to be different notes playing the same chord. Different notes playing the same chord. We got to stop trying to make our spouse or anybody else in our world the same note as us. We don't need another of you. We already got you, right? What we need is everybody to be themselves, but to be in harmony. We need to learn to be harmonious. And this is not easy in any relationship. Anybody recognize that? Does anybody notice that life is great until other people get involved? I find that out about church. Church is amazing until people start coming. And all of a sudden, we got conflict to deal with. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It was a long time. I like having Thanksgiving dinner, just me, my wife, and my kids. No fights. Until I found out my wife doesn't like having Thanksgiving like that. Lots of fights, right? Because you can never get it small enough to not have fights. All you wind up is getting isolated, and you never learn how to live in harmony. Now, for those of you who feel called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you don't know how to get along with people, you're never going to get in ministry. It's not going to happen. I love God. People got problems. No, yeah, starting with you. If you can't get along with people, it's most likely a reflection of your insecurities, not that everybody else has problems, right? And so we like to say that, you know, my insecurities are my anointing. I can't tell you how many mean people think they're prophetic. They're just mean. Just mean, right? Like, you're not Ezekiel, right? Like, the greatest prophet in the New Testament was the one called the Beloved. That should mean something for New Testament prophetic ministry. Hallelujah. That's not my message, though. So what we see in relationships is what I like to call the power struggle. Have you ever been in a relationship? You decide where we're going to eat. No, you decide. You just tell me where you want to go. I don't care. You just go. How about we go to Steak and Shake? I can't stand Steak and Shake. Oh, Jesus. Then why don't you just decide? I don't care where we go, except Steak and Shake, right? But you know I don't like Steak and Shake. Why would you choose Steak? Oh, Jesus. I'm not even hungry anymore. I'm not even hungry. Sweet Jesus. Can't even picture where we're going to eat one meal. And I'm like, we eat three a day, every day. We can't get that right. How are we going to change the world? Sweet Jesus, right? The power struggle. The power struggle. The struggle is real, right? It's real. If you've ever been in a relationship, you know the struggle is real. Let's say it together. The struggle is real. Why is the struggle real? Wow. Because we want people to do things our way. There would not be a problem if you just did what I wanted you to do, right? That's really what we're saying. There would be no more fights if you just stopped doing things your way and started doing them my way. You're like, exactly, Pastor, preach that. The problem is when you got two people doing that, there's no harmony. There's no harmony, right? And we don't get the best of each of us. Matter of fact, what you get is the worst of each of us. When we're in the power struggle, you get the worst of each of us. So instead of this blessed harmony that's pleasing to the ear, that are working together towards mutual goals, instead all we have is a clash. We have clanging cymbals, as it is. That's not really pleasing to anybody. See, the body of Christ is just like this. The body of Christ is filled with lots of people. Filled with lots of people, with lots of gifts. And the challenge for ministers and the challenge for church leaders is to create a place where everybody can express themselves, where they don't have to become you, right? They don't have to become you, the leader. They don't have to be just like you. The key to good life group is when people get to come in and find their gift and find their talent and begin to express it in life group. It's amazing when we're in relationships, when we begin to value each other and honor each other's gifts, even if it's different than our gifts. Because what I honor, I get to receive. What I honor, I receive, right? And so if I am honoring only my gift and what I think, then I got everything I'm ever going to get. Now, I don't know about you, but I want more. And the only way I get more is to honor people who have something different. Right? Now, you married somebody different for a reason. Because there are benefits to marrying. Because they have something you didn't have. And in the natural, just like in the emotional and the spiritual, they have something that you want and need, but you may not just want to work enough to get it. And so you don't receive of it. I believe God created us with different parts for a reason. So that we have to get along enough to make parts match, right? Like that's why He created it that way. That's why He created it that way, right? The challenge in dating relationships, if I can just be very, very frank, hope there aren't too many young ones here, you were created to have intimate physical relationships with the opposite sex, with one person for your whole life. When you begin to live an intertwined relationship with someone of the opposite sex, it automatically has to move into physical intimacy because that's what you're created, unless you put very, very clear and early and public boundaries to keep that from happening. If you do not do that, sin comes from it and you pervert the whole relationship. The whole relationship no longer is about discovering ourselves in Christ, becoming one with God. All of a sudden there is a perverted, unclean sexual perversion that becomes to discolor the entire relationship. And the people around you are uncomfortable. Because they know what you're expressing is not love, but hear me, lust. When you're in a committed, loving, long-term, if your ear falls off, if your entire body gets racked with cancer, if gravity takes over everything, I'm still going to be here kind of relationship, then all of a sudden there is a secure place that you can give of yourself physically. Right? And if you don't do that, then all you're really doing in dating is practicing divorce. I'm going to be intimate with you, but this may or may not be long-term. Thus, our hookup generation, who doesn't understand the covenant and love of God because they don't understand covenant and love. What love says is this is not for me and what I can get out of it. I'm here to love you unconditionally, no matter what happens. Lust says, I'm here because this feels good. And ladies, once it feels good for him, there's no reason to get married. There's no reason. Men repent more often because they want to make up. And as they say, if he's already getting the milk, why buy the cow, right? Say, well, it's like we're married. No, it ain't. You ain't married till you're married. When you publicly stand up and say, hey, this is it forever, right here. If you see me with somebody else, it's sin. I'm wearing a sign of the covenant on my hand. I'm letting everybody know that I'm committed to this person. Until then, don't let them touch all the parts. Don't go out after dark together in hidden places. Let's just use a little wisdom here. You know what? You're worth waiting for. You are worth waiting for. Hear me. You're worth waiting for. And if a man is like, well, this has got to be part of it. Say, well, I'm not really ready to get married, but if that's what you're saying, let's go for it. Oh, I'm not saying that. Right, because they're not really committed to you. Can we just be honest for a second? So God created this with a purpose to be fruitful and multiply. And when you're having babies outside of wedlock, because that's what happens, right? You're not multiplying. It's one-to-one. It's you, single person with a baby. God created it so that we would have this secure, safe place that kids could be brought into the world and learn relationships that do not break apart when hard times come. He wanted us to model His love and say, hey, you could mess up, you could get it wrong, you can fall away, but we're still here loving each other. And He's looking for men and women to live together in covenant, demonstrating two children, like, hey, we got issues, but we're not going anywhere. If we got problems, we're going to deal with them. And if we fight in front of the kids, we're going to have to make up in front of the kids. We have to let them know that we're working on our problems, because this is what healthy people do. We admit when we did things wrong. We repent. We do it publicly. We take care of our issues. But when you're outside of covenant, it's every man for himself. And manipulation runs the day. Be fruitful. Multiply. This is what he called us to do. And so, you know, if you're dating, you're in a courtship season, seeing if this could be the one that you spend the rest of your life with. We're not out here just for some good times. That's not what I'm created to do. Maybe all them girls in the world, that's what they're doing. That's not what I'm doing. God created someone for me. You hear what I'm saying? You hear what I'm saying? Men, he's raising up a woman to raise your children and pass on your legacy. This is bigger than one night. Come on, you got to be serious about this. You're creating a legacy here. We're finding out who's going to be a godly woman, who's going to be a good wife, who's going to be a loving intercessor for you in your ministry. Come on. Ladies, same thing. Who's going to be there when you got the spotlight and he doesn't? Is he going to run? Come on. I mean, come on. I'm looking for 50 years down the road here. I don't just need, pardon my language, I don't need one sexual pleasure here, right? I got a lifetime of them coming. I am waiting to find the one. So if we can live with intentionality along with our purpose, then all of a sudden we can begin to fulfill the purpose of God in our lives. Amen? But 1 Corinthians 12 says we each have a different gift. We bring a different gift to the mix. We have to honor other people's gifts so we can receive them. And what we don't do is we don't get healed enough to get secure in who we are and live out of our purpose. See, if you get healed up, you deal with the issues of the heart, get secure in who you are, begin to live out of your purpose, then you can start blessing your partner's gift and purpose. You don't feel threatened by it anymore. You're able to say things like, wow, honey, you seem pretty upset about that right there. Can you explain to me why you're feeling so bad and yelling at me? I understand what you're saying toward me. I don't feel I did any of those things. Let's talk about this. As opposed to, like Peter said, not returning evil for evil, insult for insult. You hear what I'm saying? We got to get secure in who we are. See, happiness is an inside job. And as long as you're living to somebody else to make you happy, life is never going to be very good. All right? It's going to be disappointing. Happiness is an inside job. You got to make a decision that you're going to live a happy life and that you're going to be a blessing. Mike, can you come on up? I have a whole other thing I want to get into, but I think I'm going to do it next week. I don't want to go down that road. Here's what I want to do right now. God is looking for people to live in harmony with one another in marriage relationships, in ministry relationships, just in friendships. Can I just be a blessing to people? Can I get healed up enough? Can I reflect the love of God to people? And so I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. I want to pray for our church. I want to pray for... We have an entire federal holiday to a man who had the radical notion that we shouldn't hate each other. You know, for a country that we like to say was a Christian nation, we shouldn't need a federal holiday for someone who came up with a radical idea 200 years into our union that we shouldn't hate each other, right? Like that. And so for me, I have this radical notion in your marriage and your relationship, you shouldn't hate anybody. People naturally feel disconnected. It's our natural feeling. We naturally feel isolated. We naturally hold on to the negativity. It's our job in these relationships to work on the connection. To work on the connection, you know, where your good friend, your spouse, your loved one, your child, your parent is behaving really ugly towards you. And you're able to say, I'm sorry, I don't know what's happening, but I'm the one who committed my life to you. Let's talk about what's going on right now. And deal with it. We have to be able to show love to people who deserve it the most in our lives. people have committed their life to us. Our family, our close friends, our partner. Amen? So, Father, we love you today. We love you today, Jesus. And Lord, we ask right now. We ask right now, Jesus, that you would come in power and you would come in love. And you would help us this week. You would help us this week, Jesus, to just be more loving, to seek to live in harmony. And we would seek to live in harmony. Now listen, continue to pray. As you pray this prayer, it's going to become heightened in your spirit, the areas that are not harmonious. It's not an attack of the devil. This is an increased awareness. And you're going to just be the sweetest person you've been, that you can be this week, and someone's going to come at you sideways. And you're going to say, well, I tried to be nice to you, and look what you did to me. See, that's not being loving. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And what you're going to do is you're going to react in love. You're going to say, no, pastor told me this is coming. And I'm going to choose love right now. Hallelujah. Stand with me. Father, we love you and we commit. Let's place our hands on our heart. Father, we want to walk in love. We want to reflect your love. We want to be loving. Saturated us with your love. Now listen, in a few moments, the Next Steps table is going to be open and you can sign up for a life group that starts today. There's going to be people in the front. If you have sickness in your body, if you need deliverance, you need a miracle, they're going to pray for you up front. Also, if you need to start your walk with God and you want information about actually beginning this walk of love with Jesus, you're going to come right over here to this intercession banner. And they're going to